Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends. Breezeline Internet and mobile. Get gig internet with a free month when you order online, plus a free mobile line for a year. It's everything you need at home or on the go. Visit breezeline.com today.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If ever you wanted proof of the differing views that there are about how to handle the negotiations we are now unwillingly drawn into with the US about tariffs, the front page of the Irish Examiner says EU-US talks to stave off trade war. Harris welcomes pause but 10% tariff in place. Harris may be welcoming the pause. What to do about it, though, is dividing opinion, because the Indo tells us that Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue supports threatening Trump with big tech tax. Meanwhile, the Irish Times tells us that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin is to resist EU tax on US tech firms. There are obviously a lot, there is a lot at stake, and there are 90 days in which to make the decisions about what, if anything, should be done. I'm joined by a man who's no stranger to significant negotiations, that being Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach. Bertie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Anton. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well. Can I ask that the sort of the first major question in all of this, as I understand it, is we decided as an EU trading bloc not to retaliate in the face of the tariffs, or not to significantly retaliate in the face of the tariffs put in place by Donald Trump. Did that achieve anything other than making us look weak?
No, I think it was the right tactic, because if you look, Anton, it's only what, the 12th of April, and it was on the 2nd that, you know, Trump decided that he was going to have the biggest break in America's trade policy in over a century. And, you know, from his own point of view now and looking at what's happened in the States, it's been harmful. It was probably unnecessary. And he has believed back since the 80s that tariffs were the way to sort world trade. And here we are now only 10 days on, and he's had to do a major about turn. Okay, he's twisting it around to keep the battle going with China. But the reality is that his great Liberation Day, totally abandoned America's world trading order and embraced the protectionism. So it was a hugely massive error by the president. So where he goes next, I mean, I think that the big difficulty is, what does he really want to do? And I assume he does have some kind of a plan, though that's probably questionable. But what kind of a global economy does Trump want? Is there a plan beyond the victim rhetoric, which he says that we've looted and plagued and raped and plundered America? He never seems to. I can't understand the president talking down his own economy. They've been the most successful economy in the world, up in the top of the G7 for three decades. So the difficulty now is, where does he want to go? I think from Europe's point of view, they handled it correctly. They didn't respond. They didn't have to wait long. Now they have to work their way around what Europe thinks is a fair and a good deal. And I think they have long worked out their tactics in Europe, and now they have to see how far they can get in those negotiations.
But do you believe that the negotiations are in good faith? Because it wasn't a rethink that caused Donald Trump to reverse his policies. It was the realization that he had walked the economy up to a precipice, and if he kept going, it would never be recoverable. That doesn't suggest that he's open to straight negotiations, or do you think that somewhere in there he is?
I don't think he is. I mean, he believes, you know, as I said before, in 1987, he placed huge ads, full page ads, which cost a fortune in New York Times in those days, advocating that where America should go is tariffs. And he believed that, you know, if the tariffs had been brought in the 1930s, it would have saved the Great Depression. Instead, of course, history has shown that it made things worse. So he hasn't changed his mind. But the reality was that he probably came within a day of doing irreversible damage to his own economy, a week into have making his crazy ideas. But I mean, what has he done in the 10-day period? He's erected barriers that destabilize the global economy. It undermines global cooperation. It pulled down the pillars of the global trading system. And, you know, he must see that has done huge damage to the trusted global relationships that have been built up over 80 years period. So it's some feat in 10 days, isn't it, to have done that. But I think he now... They must see now that there has to be another way of doing this, and I believe it'll be more open to sensible negotiations of either moving to a tariff-free zone, which I'm not sure how that would work out because there are costs associated with it and difficulties of doing it, but at least to get as low as tariffs as possible and being able to do substantive trade deals with the EU in the first place, because I think the EU will be the easiest probably firm to deal with because they'll have a very fixed position. But he also has to do that with Japan. He also has to do it with South Korea. So, I mean, there's big play over the next 90 days.
Now, 90 days is one thing. The years thereafter is also a significant strategic issue for the world and for the EU. In your view, is this a situation where we wait for 3.5 years for a semblance of normality to return? Or is everything now different? And if so, what should the EU be doing?
Oh, I think it is different. I mean, we've seen what an administration can do. We've seen that how difficult that can be for the world economy. It's changing the ground rules of almost 100 years. So I think we'd be unwise to sit in our hands and hope that it'll all be all right and that there won't be another Trump in the presidency. So I think that we have to work out a new order of doing things. And one of the things that I think the EU should be doing is focusing on trade flows among ourselves, especially in the services, because that's where the power for this century is economically. I think there's far more we can do between countries. And then there's all of the other countries. There's the global trade group now. That's the members of the Comprehensive and Progressive Trade and Transit Partnership Agreement, I think is what they call themselves. And that takes in a lot of countries where they're massive countries in terms of trade. America hold all the cards maybe when it comes to the spending on security, but they don't on exports and imports. So I think there's a huge, if you take in that group and South Korea and small open economies like Norway, they account for 34% of global trade for imports. So there are huge opportunities to develop, you know, constructive agreements that maybe Europe didn't work as hard on over the last, you know, 10 or 20 years. But having, to answer your question, having seen what the American president can do, what he might still try to do, and I think it's far better off we start making alternative the deals, including one with him, but looking also at the rest of the world and looking internally between ourselves.
Do we also need to some extent to wean ourselves off the areas where we are US dependent? The Draghi report pointed at things like IPOs and how little IPO activity there is in the EU by comparison to the US. Likewise, this has shown how dependent we are on US software and hardware services, US cloud services, US tech. Should the EU be looking at domestic alternatives to those?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. But first of all, I think they need to dust down the Draghi report. There was an enormous amount of effort and work went into that, not just by him, but by the best experts that we could find in the European Union. And we didn't know what Trump was going to do when that report was issued a year ago. But I think it should be looked at and it should be examined. And I know Draghi has said in interviews around the end of the year that he was disappointed that that report wasn't receiving the attention that it should have been receiving. So I think, number one, that report should be taken down. The second thing is, and it's the one that worries me most, is if Trump moved off tariffs in the broad brush tariffs, which I think he's been forced to do not so much by the markets, but by the realization that the debt problems on his own deficit would have taken him into a huge unknown place. But I think what you need to really do is to look at, if he moved to the sectoral areas, it's not that easy for us to move off those sectoral areas, but the reality is where Trump can really harm and damage us is if he was to go onto the medical supplies, onto the pharmaceuticals, because that's where the huge investments are in this country. And it's not just the employment, it's not just the tax revenue, but it's the huge infrastructure contracts that these companies have brought, you know, for all of my time in politics. And I think that's where the billions are spent. And, you know, I was talking to a plumbing company during the week, and they were very worried about the farm industry. And I said, well, why are you worried about that? They said, because all our contracts for the last 20 years have been doing work in pharma companies. So it has a knock-on effect that is far wider in the Irish economy than just talking about tablets.
Although there is a theory that says that because they are highly regulated and because the manufacturing lines for much of what they produce require fairly qualified individuals and require a great degree of certification to set up, that they're sticky in terms of their investments. Do you agree?
I do, but can I say this? I remember, it must be 20 years ago, I was in Silicon Valley and I was meeting some of those companies, one in particular, and they were saying to us that if Ireland wanted to hold these companies long term, there were a few things that we should do, and some of those were in the tax area, some of them were doing in the research area, some were doing in Lincoln or universities close with businesses, and I think maybe not perfectly, but I think we did a very good job in those. But I remember well him saying that if those things aren't done, you could very well find an American government that would listen to their industry and that they would start doing their new long-term investments back in America. He said, but unfortunately, our administration don't listen. But so that could reverse. Now, it's not going to affect the economy in 2026, but it would over the next 20 years. And I think, as you and I know, these industries have been built up here over 30 or 40 years. And all of their investments, they always say when they come in to talk to governments, they say, listen, we look not in the political cycle, but we look in 10, 20, 30-year cycles. So I think we need to be careful what America will do in trying to drag this. Because Trump's view, and he has maybe some arguments in this, his view is that the wealth that we get here from those industries has taken from their wealth. Now, he says it in a way I think is ridiculous, that, you know, it's ruined America. But it has taken a lot of investments out of America. And, I mean, he has an argument in that. So we have to be careful that he does understand, I think, a lot of things he doesn't seem to understand, but he does understand, I think, the sectoral investments. In his own speech and in his manifesto that was done by his crowd last year, they have that fairly well pinned together, and we need to be very careful at that.
Lastly, can I ask you about your predictions in respect of the battle that is now entrenched between China and the US? China now knows that the dollar has undoubtedly been undermined as the world's reserve currency as a function of this, and Trump's weakness to bond market flutters and what it means for their ability to finance their debt is now laid bare. Where do you think this goes? Because China are not known for blinking quickly.
No, and they won't blink quickly. And I think they probably feel at the end of this 10-day period that they will have good satisfaction that the fact that they had been involved in buying up American debt over the years, that they were able to I know it'll be probably proved eventually, but I'm sure they were involved in the manipulations of what was going on in during the week on the bond market. Now, but this is an interesting point. I mean, Trump and his key people all the time say that it's the deficit is their problem, that this long-term deficit is unsustainable. And at the same time, the actions that they took rattled the bond market. And the bond market is the people who are servicing that debt. So how they didn't see that and how they didn't calculate that is beyond me. I mean, it's a little bit like saying what's two and two. And they seem to walk right into that. Now, I think they copped that on fairly quick. I think China probably put their own pressure on that and they had to reverse quickly. But they'd come back at it again another way. I mean, they have a lot of highly intelligent economists and financial people. But I think China have done well on this. China will not back down. Now they're going to have to talk. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're up at 120 or 140% tariffs on both sides. So they're going to have to talk and operate on this. And of course, Europe, I've always held the view that I know there's problems with China's state companies, but Europe should also be looking at the role that they can play more with China, because I think there are great opportunities for that. The reality is that China now has a market, a middle class market of somewhere around 470 million people. And that's not a market to be sneezed away from either.
Bertie, thank you very much. That is former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.